tell you something. I don't care what you've done in your life and how ashamed of it that you are. If you will get on your knees, if you'll get alone with God and you'll ask God, the Word says that you have not because you ask not. Now, if you get in the wrong type of church, the pastor will be like, well, you got to be perfect to get anything from God. No, you don't. No, you don't. And you'll never be perfect. But one of the things that you have to do is you have to have the confidence to ask Him. To ask Him. Ask God. And so we see here Lazarus' sister, and she said, I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask for. And I want to tell you today, if you've hit a brick wall and you've got some things that you say, you know what, I need God to do this for me, I'm going to encourage you to ask God. Ask Him. Ask Him. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not very close to God. I don't care. Ask Him. How do you get to know somebody? You talk to them. You talk to them. You talk to them. Ask them. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? I remember in my childhood, we would have long lines of people getting prayer. And I always thought my dad was crazy why he did some of the things that he did. But I get it now because I'm a pastor. And there were times where we would be in these prayer lines and he would say, now, do you believe that God can do what you're up here asking Him to do for you? A couple times. You'd get somebody and they'd say, no, I don't. God can do whatever you believe Him for, no matter how big and how small. The Word talks about a man in the Bible and he was having trouble with doubt. And doubt is something that we all have trouble with at times. And he said, God, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. If you're believing God for something in here, and there are times where you struggle and you think, well, I don't know if God can do that for me. Here's where your prayer needs to start. Lord, I believe, but help this unbelief inside of me. Help this unbelief inside of me. And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and she went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews had been with Mary in the house comforting her, she noticed how quickly she got up and went out, and they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and he was troubled. Now, there's two types of people in the world. I'm the type of person, and I'm just going to be very honest with you, because unless a pastor can be honest, they're not going to be able to help anybody. There are people, and there are very few, that I just dislike. Now, if y'all don't have anybody in your life you dislike, then you're great. You're good to go. But I'm not like that. Kayla, there's a couple people, and they rub me wrong. They're not in here, so nobody knows these sharp. Trying to figure it out. But I'd have trouble at times, Cherie. There's a couple people, they get under my skin and they rub me wrong. Kayla, here's the flip side of that. If I find out that my enemy is hurting, my crazy self is the first one to think, how can I help them? I'm like, I can't stand them, but Lord, how can I help them? Then there's people, they don't feel anything for others. And that's why we're talking about what we're talking about today. Because what we see is we see two sisters that had lost their brother. And they were saying, you know, Jesus, if you would have been here, you could have done something about it. Now, let me tell you something. There's going to be times in your life where something happens and you're going to think that everything is lost. Everything is gone and everything is ruined. And I'm going to ask you to hold on. Because it doesn't matter if something looks dead or not. You serve a God that can resurrect anything that He wants to. You serve a God that if you say, you know what, God, this part of my life, it just seems dead. This seems like it's not going good. If you can learn how to ask God, if you can learn how to say, God, I feel like everything is going wrong. I don't think it could ever go right again. Look here, don't throw in the towel. Pray. Pray. If you don't know how to pray, I'm going to tell it to you like this. Talk to God. That's all that prayer is. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. And it says, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid Him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And in verse 35, Jesus wept. That is the shortest verse in the Bible. Two words, Jesus wept. Why did He weep? Because He was empathizing with them. He could feel their pain. He also loved Lazarus. When He saw them, when He saw the grief, He was moved and He was troubled. The word says, be slow to speak, slow to get angry, and be quick to listen. There's too many people that claim to be Christians, and when somebody's going through a hard time, when we're watching others go through a battle, we're casting judgment instead of thinking, how does this person feel? How do they feel? I remember when I first started pastoring, I don't know why anybody stayed through that first year, to be honest with you. Every message I preached, I was ticked. I sounded angry. Paul, I listen to some of those and I just cringe. But let me tell you something. Had it not have been for some people that were so great at being empathetic, I wouldn't be able to be up here today. One of the reasons I was so angry is because I had gotten it in my head that I could never fill the shoes of the person that did it before me. And that was my dad. Let me tell you something. We're going to dismiss the teenagers right now. All them sweet teenagers. I wish somebody would have done this with me when I was a kid. I might have turned out better. Probably not, but. There we go. You don't need to focus on being anybody but yourself. You don't need to focus on being anybody but yourself. But for a solid year, I tried to be somebody that I wasn't. And at the end of that year, I said, God, I cannot fill His shoes. There is no way that I can do that. And you know, I felt God saying, you know what, Kelly? I feel where you're at. And I want to tell you today, God knows exactly where you're at. You don't have to be anybody but you. You don't have to be anybody but you, but you do have to do one thing. You have got to be the very best version of you. The very best version of yourself. And you're at your best, not when you're judging people, not when you're looking down on them, but you're at your best when you can say, you know what, I don't understand what that person's going through, but I don't have to. I'm going to just love that person. The first year I pastored, I tried to fix everybody. And I tried to understand them, and I tried to be everything that I could never be. And then I was frustrated because I thought, God, I didn't know I was supposed to be like Dr. Phil. God, I'm not a good Dr. Phil. I don't even like hearing stuff because there's something inside of me that wants to fix them. God said, Kelly, you don't have to do anything but listen. Try to understand them. Try to put yourself where they're at and love them. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man kept this man from dying? Now, anybody that knows this account, well, Jesus did what he does best. He brought him back to life. Let's go now to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 9 through 17. And you'll never help anybody unless you can love them first and be kind to them first. You never will. You never will. I wrote down a quote by Theodore Roosevelt last night, and it said, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. It doesn't take a Bible scholar to be a pastor. It doesn't take a Bible scholar to be a Christian. It takes a person. It takes a person. A person willing to love people. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, here's some things that are a must. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, and be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted. There's very few people that are devoted to anything. Very few folks. It's hard to get people devoted to even really come to church. It's hard to get people devoted to sticking with something when they want to quit. It's hard to get people to be devoted to something. But you go to trying to get people to be devoted to one another and you've got your hands and your work cut out for you. Be devoted to one another. You know, one of the people, there are times where I get myself on a ledge. Frank's going, yes, she does. And I have got some of the most devoted people right here in this room. I really do. And I am so appreciative of each and every single one of you. Because let me tell you something, life is very difficult. It is hard. And if you've got to try to do life on your own, it's going to be even harder. We should all try to be devoted to one another. And I want to tell you something from the pastor on down. You're not going to understand everybody in this room. Now, I've got news for you. You're also not going to agree with everyone in this room. How many of you, since you've been coming here, there was something I did or said you didn't agree with? It's okay to raise your hand. Amen. All right. Guess what? For every hand raised, there was something you did I didn't agree with. Guess what? We're both still sitting up under this roof. Why is that? Because we're devoted. Because we're devoted. That's right, Bobby. We got to be devoted to one another. When you're devoted, that doesn't mean you agree with everything someone does. That doesn't mean you understand everything that they do. I got two people under my sermons every Sunday, Brother Larry and Dad. They were both pastors. I used to think, oh, God, do they approve? You know what? I don't even care if they approve now because I have to do what is right for this church. And you know what? Here's a side note. They've only ever been supportive to me. Both of them. Both of them. If you think it's easy letting your baby kid run what you built your whole life and not stress about it, that ain't easy. That ain't easy. I think about letting one of my boys do it, and I'm like, ooh. I know I'm going to get older at some point, but I don't know if I can hand that over. But you know what? When I get older, I bet I'll handle it. Dad's like, you will. But love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope and patient in affliction. Patient in affliction. You know, one of the things that helps people the most is when they're going through something, if they just know that you're there. Be patient in affliction. You know, I'm not a very patient person. There have been many times over the past 4 years where I've sat down by Miss Mary and I've told her all my troubles. And she'd say, well, Kelly, it's going to line out. Just be patient. You know, you can help someone else be patient. If you know that somebody's going through something, help them be patient in their affliction. Why? Because look here, it won't be long. You'll be going through something. You're going to need somebody to help you. Ain't that the truth? Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. I practice hospitality every Wednesday. There's many times I ain't feeling it. Guess what I got to do, Jill? I got to get up in the van with all the people that probably look up to me. And poor Jim, I don't know if he thinks I'm insane or what, but sometimes I'll just have to say, I'm not in a good mood, guys. I've got an attitude today. I'll have a conversation with me and all my personalities, and I'll say, now we're going to have to get this together. Glory to God. I'm going to have to straighten up and act right. This day is not about me. When I'm able to do that, God moves. A couple weeks ago, we were going through the drive-thru. Thank God we've had the common sense enough to switch to drive-thru for our food distribution. Tyler, I can't wait till you can come back and help. I miss you. Somebody poked their head out. This little old man, he poked his head out, and he said, you know, a couple weeks ago, you prayed for my foot, and it's completely healed. And it was raining that particular day, and I remember not really feeling it. Now, see, God don't want you. God, everybody can pray when everything's great. Get yourself out there when it's raining and snowing and sleeting and hailing and all that stuff going on. People ain't listening to Jim at the edge of the parking lot. All of that. I remember praying for that guy. And you know what I thought? I thought, you know what? When I get older, I don't want my foot to hurt. And when I prayed, I was praying like I was praying over my own foot. Why? Because I have empathy. Can you have empathy for others? Can you have empathy? It don't matter if you've been through what they've been through or not. Can you put yourself in their spot and say, you know what, God, help them. They're struggling right now. God, I don't know what it's like to struggle. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and here's what I have stopped saying. And I've made a mental note to stop. Somebody will tell you their problem, and then you'll say, well, I know how you feel. I've stopped saying that unless I really, truly know how they feel. Because to me, there's nothing more irritating than somebody that thinks they know everything and they don't know squat. And I said, I cannot even imagine how you feel, but we're going to pray. Rocky, there's going to be times that we know exactly how other people feel. And then there's going to be times that we have no idea. There's times that people are hurting, and we have no idea, Cindy, what to say, no idea what we would even do about it. We don't have to know. But what we have to be able to do is say, you know what, if that were happening to me, I can imagine the pain that that would be causing me. And then agree in prayer. Agree in prayer. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 12. And if there's anything that I think that the world has really gotten away from, it's the golden rule. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Do to others what you would have them to do to you. Now here's where we get off. Somebody does something to us, Crystal. You see this in little babies because it's human nature. I remember when my kids were little. Somebody hit them, they would hit them right back. And I'm not going to lie. When I sent my kids to daycare, he was a shrimp and he was getting picked on. And I finally got sick of it. And I said, when that bully hits you, Carson, you hit him back. Now, you may not like that, but look here. I said it. But where we get off in adults is this right here. You can't play that tit-for-tat game because you're going to lose no matter what. We think it's going to make us feel better. It doesn't. When somebody does something to us, maybe they say something about us, maybe they do something to one of our kids, it's an instant reaction. We want to give it right back to them. Don't do that. Do unto others as you would have them to do to you. And that's been one of the hardest things that I think I've ever had to learn, and I've not mastered it yet, but I've gotten better at it. God knows exactly how you feel when somebody does you wrong. He knows exactly how you feel when you're cheated out of something, when you're misunderstood, when you're let down, when people have done you wrong. He knows how you feel. And he still requires you to do unto others as you would have them to do to you. When somebody does something to you, if you can still do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, you're leaving place for God to come into that situation and turn it around for your favor. If you give them exactly what they gave you, there's really no place for God to come in and move there. He's going to have to discipline both of you. I remember a time, now this is not going to be pleasant for people, but I don't spank my kids a lot. But I got spanked when I was a kid, and that was okay. I'm still alive. I'm still working in society. Now, one of the things kids do is lie. Are you a parent? Have you ever caught your kid in a lie? There was one particular time. Casey and I, we didn't even like each other until she got married and got out of the house. I could not stand her, and she could not stand me. And we were terrible to each other. However, every night before we would go to bed, I would say, if I've done anything to hurt you, please forgive me. And I meant it until we woke up the next day, and we was right back at it again. For like 18 years. But one particular time, they left me with her to watch me. Don't do that to your kids because there ain't no watching going on. And I sprayed her in the face with Windex. She was doing something to me, and I've always had a little hot temper. And I found the closest thing to me, and I just sprayed her up and down with that Windex. The next thing I knew, she had got a vacuum cleaner accessory, and she had beat me with it right in the face. So then I whooped up on her. It just went back and forth, Lori, for quite some time. And we both had black eyes after that. And then Dad calls. Girls, I'm on my way home. I've got groceries. I want you to be outside to help me get the groceries in. And we both looked at each other and we said, we're in big trouble. Casey goes, I've got the solution. We're going to tell them this. We were praying. We were very sheltered kids. She got a hardback Bible of his. She goes, you're going to tell him, Kelly, that we were praying. And we got so into our prayer that you grabbed the Bible from me and we were wrestling over the Bible and it flung back and hit you in the face. I'm gullible as could be. You could tell me anything and I would probably believe it. I said, okay. They asked us probably 100 times how we got in the condition that we were in. And here's what we knew. We were both empathetic for each other because we knew if we told the truth about that, we were both going to get it. The story never faltered. There was not even a crack in it. Because I thought, we're going to get the worst whooping of our life if they know this. Casey thought, I was responsible for this little turd, and here I've done blacked her eyes. She would be in double trouble, but I would be in trouble too. Go with me now to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look in verse 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is the stuff that you're supposed to clothe yourself with, compassion. Compassion for people you love, compassion for people that you don't love. Clothe yourself in compassion. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You know, most people, if you say, do you have a sense of peace? They don't got peace because they've let everything else come in and take the peace. But the Word says that peace should rule your heart. Most of the time, what's ruling our heart is emotion. If you really look at your last 10 dumb decisions that you made them out of emotion. A lot of our bad decisions, they're made out of an emotion. And here's the problem with doing that. Feelings come and go. Feelings come and go. You could be having a feeling great day. Principal calls about your kid, you're having an awful day in 2 seconds. Right, Brother Larry? Exactly. You can be having a perfect day, and you look at your bank account, and you're in overdraft, and you don't know why. You can have a perfect day, and your boss get on your nerves, and then in a second, the day is just terrible. That's why you don't make your decisions out of your emotion. Because feelings are not facts. But the Word, it's true, every bit of it. Go with me now to 1 Peter. We're going to look at verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic and love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Sometimes the reason why your prayer hasn't gotten answered is because you've given somebody what you thought they deserved. What does it say? I'm going to read it one more time. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Don't give somebody what you think they deserve, because here's the thing. You don't know what they deserve. You really don't. And there's too much of, we see somebody go through a hard time, well, they deserve every bit of what they got. They did this, this, and this. No, you don't know what they deserve. But what we know is that they're a human being. And when we look at them and we look at their situation, we should look and we should say, you know what? I don't know what they're going through entirely, but I can just imagine how I would feel, and leave it at that. Leave it at that. Now, who in here is 60 plus years old? You don't have to raise your hand. Now, I'm going to dismiss, and I'm so glad to see you two here. I'm going to dismiss anybody 60 plus years old. Now, let's say Rita raised her hand. Johnny, if you're not 60, you get to go with Rita because that's your family member. So if you or your family member is 60 plus years old, I'm going to dismiss you to that back door right there. Our teenagers are going to begin to serve you. My dad's like, I'm not waiting around for anybody. He's like, I've been pastoring this place for 30-something years. I'm going to the dinner bell.